This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on Store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And I think when you listen to Joe, when you see Joe now in the past 10 days, 2 weeks out on the campaign trail, you see something that resonates with voters. And it's pretty simple. It's humanity. It's empathy.
All right, thank you.
Now, shush. I did not say that. That's not true. I did not say that.
It's a viral video.
Hey, let's go.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
Some people see that as charming, a candidate who's willing to air it out.
Where the rest of the union guys were all around and he used a bad word. That will help him with those voters. It won't hurt him.
And he kind of just went off the deep end. I saw that he was digging a hole, and I just kind of let him talk for a while to dig the hole.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Honestly, it sounds almost so silly to say, but there's a lot of restaurants that are feeling the pain of racism, where people are literally not patroning Chinese restaurants because of just straight up racism around the coronavirus.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
On Sunday, I very much look forward to the debate in Arizona with my friend Joe Biden.
Underneath it all, Bernie Sanders may be the lamest revolutionary ever.
It's just Bernie!
You're watching a professional loser. Real revolutionaries go to the wall for what they believe. Bernie Sanders won't even go to the convention.
Bernie, I've got to talk to you.
Bernie's a little wasted right now.
Blah, 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 blah.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. So much to get to here today. I'm so happy that Bernie didn't drop out. I was concerned. He is a bit of a loser, as Tucker Carlson said last night. I'm still not convinced he's going to do a bang-up job in the debate on Sunday night, but he is at least he's not dropping out. And as I told you yesterday, not that I was Nostradamus for figuring this out, but they immediately began clamoring for Bernie to drop out. Did you hear him? Clyburn and Carville. They want to move him aside. Because they can't tolerate any of these debates. I'm just surprised that they haven't invited Tulsi Gabbard to be on the stage with them, Sunday night, just to kind of provide a little eye candy and take the heat off of Bernie.
It couldn't hurt.
Off of Biden, I should say. It couldn't. No, it couldn't.
Having a young, good-looking lady on the screen, it's not going to hurt their ratings.
On the other hand, considering how far off he's gotten. I mean, he might just wander over and start running his hands through her hair or something, and that would be even worse. So
her hair is very shiny.
Yeah, it is.
It does pose a risk.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, before we get to any of that today, I want to talk about what I think is the most important story today that no one's going to put on the national news. It's a story in Ohio, but no one's going to put it on the national news because it kind of puts everything about coronavirus in context. Okay? There was a riot last night at the University of Dayton. Not a school most of us are familiar with, the Dayton Flyers. They occasionally have a really good basketball team. This is one of those years. Donnie May came out of Dayton a long, long time ago. This is probably the best team since Donnie May days. But anyway, there was a riot last night at the University of Dayton. I'm going to read from the NBC News affiliate here. Dayton police and the University of Dayton police responded to Lowe's Street in the South Student neighborhood on reports of a massive crowd. Oh, wow. What were they rioting about? The crowd gathered at 11 p.m. and began throwing objects and stomping on cars. Students said they were celebrating the cancellation of classes due to the coronavirus outbreak. Okay? So, in other words, the students at the University of Dayton have a more firm grasp on reality than the anchors that are fomenting panic on TV this afternoon and tonight. Mm-hmm. It's police in riot gear fired several rounds of paintball guns and pepper balls into the crowd. Units from across the city were also called in after verbal orders to disperse were ignored. University officials said at least one person was hurt by a thrown bottle. I'm guessing it was an adult beverage bottle that formerly contained adult beverages.
Paintballs are a real buzzkill, that's for sure.
So this is how seriously the students take it, because they've been paying more attention, apparently, than anybody in the news media.
But this is always what happens at schools. When they, at Providence, they used to cancel classes sometimes for snow because they didn't want us slipping on ice, walking from one class to another. And then we'd all be walking on slippery ice down to the bars at night in pitch black.
Right.
And go, ooh, we did not go out and drink.
See, I was a freshman at the University of North Carolina when the Kent State shootings occurred. And then there were all these demonstrations and they canceled final exams. I was thinking about all those years ago. When I started reading about all these colleges, including Harvard, canceling all their classes, and I remembered how happy we were that there were no final exams, and in those days you at least had a chance of being drafted and having to go into the army and be sent to Vietnam. I mean, there's no downside to this.
No.
You just go home and you party. You can watch the Flyers.
You can
You don't even have to pretend to be studying for final exams.
You can drink
some Corona.
It's
party time, man. Go Flyers.
Do you think they all went out and bought Corona, Howie, to celebrate? That's a popular drink amongst the college kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to predict this is not a story you're going to see on any network newscast tonight. I'm surprised it even gets much play in on the network affiliates in Dayton, because this is not part of the narrative that they want to get out there. They want to get panic out there. You know, it's Trump's fault. This is Trump's Katrina. Remember that. Nobody's celebrating this. They're in fear of their lives. This is from The Atlantic. Cancel everything. Social distancing is the only way to stop the coronavirus. We must start immediately. No, it's not the only way to stop the coronavirus. Everyone could kill themselves. How about that? Just everyone get a razor. Get one of those straight razors like Corn Pop used to carry when he was threatening Joe Biden. Take it into the bathtub. Turn on the water and slit your wrists. And
what was the thing they did back in the day with the Kool-Aid?
No more coronavirus.
Who was the guy with the Kool-Aid? Everyone drank the Kool-Aid and died?
Jim Jones.
That's the way. That's the way to do it. We don't want razor blades. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, they've already been drinking the Kool-Aid. That's how they've scared themselves. We got to come up with a new plan other than drinking the Kool-Aid.
Howie, do you know you can get a Broadway ticket in New York right now for $50?
I know. I know that guy, Scott Rudin. You know, he was the producer of A Civil Action.
Oh
yes, he's become the biggest Broadway impresario there is, and he's got like five plays running. Most of them are old.
Is
plays
there anything on
back.
Broadway worth seeing right now?
Well, I mean, isn't My Fair Lady has been brought? Isn't that one of the ones that's been brought back?
Snooze.
I love My Fair Lady.
I didn't want to see the Book of Mormon, or I didn't see a lot there I would like to go to. But then I've never really been a big theater guy, you know. But anyway, the fact is, normally those tickets go for $200 a pop, and now Scott Rudin is trying to unload them for $50. And I'm sure he's losing his shirt. But anyway, there's another story here in the New York Post about a guy who seems to have a better grasp on it. Do you know this guy, Grace, named Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes, he played Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network, that big movie that came out like 5 years ago.
Okay, he kind of looks a little like Mark Zuckerberg, come to think of it.
The casting was pretty good. He's a good actor, for sure.
Well, he is apparently an out-of-the-closet hypochondriac. Mm. And he's always felt like he was a member of a tiny minority of people, mm-hmm. being afraid of illnesses that don't represent a threat to him. Now he thinks that the world has caught up with him. The world has finally caught up to my hypochondria. This is page 6 in the New York Post. So I'm just doing whatever I've been doing now, and everyone is feeling the same thing as me.
Well, now that we can all feel his pain, is he due hypochondriac reparations?
You know, you're right. I mean, he's kind of late to get, you know, an affirmative action grant or, you know, go to human resources because he's 36 and he's pretty got a pretty good career in showbiz as it is. He says his usual routine when entering his home is not to vigorously wash his hand, but rather just put his hands in a fire and then go about my business. He's also revealed he's not a fan of WebMD and prefers to self-diagnose. I just know I'm sick. I don't have to check. His next concert's going to be at the University of Dayton. Oh, that's right. It's been canceled because everyone's going to be down at the bar celebrating again the fact that there are no more classes. 844-500-40. The thing about the University of Dayton is at least they were honest about it and, you know, partied and had a big celebration. The rest of most of the other colleges are just pretending that, you know, this is a really serious thing. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We have a lot planned here today. We have a lot of sound, and we will be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. It's that time again. We have a cheap bastard deal. This one is from Southern Maine. This is a great one. Let's have the music. It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
This is one in Portland, my birthplace, and it's for a great fish house and oyster room that's been around since before I was born. Yes, since before my father was born, and he was born in 1905. I refer, of course, to Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room, and we've got a hell of a deal here today. We have 200 gift cards valued at $50 each. The sale price is $25, half price. $50 card for $25. These are not valid in July and August, but until July and August and after, they're valid. Joining us now on the line is Chris O'Neill, and he's from Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room. Tell people who aren't from Portland and Southern Maine about Boone's, Chris. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Howie. I was taken aback, I must say, because as I tuned into the audio feed, here I am trying to entice people to come to Portland and eat at one of the oldest restaurants in Maine, and you're on the air trying to entice people to commit suicide. Please let them have a meal first.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean, Chris. I mean, this is a little overblown, you know? I mean, this would be a goodbye for all those students at the University of Dayton who are hung over today after their big celebration. They're so terrified of the dying of coronavirus.
Well, good segue to our restaurant, Howie, because actually it's dominating some of the operations these days. We have to show that we're polishing doorknobs and sanitizing. You know, we got to do it. You just have to do it. And, you know, we'll get through it. I'm sure we will. But in the meantime, we've got a deal for you.
And that is, that's half price. It's it's $25 for a $50 gift card. And, the Boone's is a great place. I've been going there all my life. And your family just bought it a few years ago and totally renovated the place. And it's just, why don't you tell people what the kind of food they can get at Boone's who aren't from Portland?
Sure. Boone's is right on the waterfront. At high tide, you're literally over the water. The old Boone's that originally opened in 1898 was legendary. I can remember in high school being able to see the water through the cracks in the floor in the dining room. Well, in 2012 and 13, my wife followed up on her loving memories of riding the ferry out to Peaks Island, where her grandfather had a house. Your cousin, Nick Mavadonis, who runs the ferry service, has moved the ferries to the next dock down. But when this property became available, she remembered coming into Boone's with her grandfather so he could smoke Winston's and drink a martini while she could eat fried clams and have ice cream. Mm-hmm. When the property became available, she just went after it. A couple million dollars worth of build-out later to make it habitable. Boone's was reopened. We kept the original neon sign that was grandfathered. We kept all the old-world seaport ambiance. And now we can seat more than 300 people with two decks outside, one covered, one not, and all the charm that the old port has to offer. The food is traditional, seafood Maine fare. The baked stuffed lobster was invented by Alexander Boone sometime.
I didn't know that until today. Yeah.
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 And
each lobster is stuffed with mounds of fresh scallops and lobster meat blended with secret ingredients. It's an old style place too, in that you can go up to the lobster tank and pick the lobster you want. You'd like that, Grace.
Don't get too attached to him because his fate is generally not favorable. But so there's all the traditional fare. We do lobsters five ways: steamed, baked, two different styles of lobster roll, and the mac and cheese. The lobster mac and cheese is legendary. But then there's all the other traditional seafoods. Added to that is, Portland's a very foodie town, so we had to go shishi also. The menu blends old traditional with shishi very nicely.
And you have the happy hour featuring 75-cent oysters and great deals on wine and the local drafts, the craft beers. You have the 3-for-30 Boone's Fireside deal. That's a three-course meal, including lobster and dessert. And it's just, and you got all the, you got a big fire, a huge fireplace. So, a lot of, into late spring and early summer, Maine can be, even southern Maine could be a little damp and cool, but you can always get warm when you go into Boone's and just huddle around the fireplace.
Well, Darcy, my wife, is a very successful restaurateur, and she designed this like she was creating a baby. The summer ambiance is fantastic because you've got sunshine and open air and lots of open windows. You feel like almost you're in Key West with seaweed in the Northeast. In the winter, it becomes very cozy and warm and just a really nice place to be for those times of year when it's not quite so bustling and when a lot of people really, really come and enjoy Portland.
Well, this is great, Chris. We appreciate you doing this with us. And again, this is our Cheap Bastard deal. It's Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room. It's right down in the Old Port District in Portland. I'm very familiar with it, obviously, it's a great place, and it's a great deal. $50 gift cards for $25 each. There's a limited amount there, and these aren't valid in July and August at the height of the summer season, but get them for right now and for afterwards next fall. But go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store, HowieCarShow.com, click on store. They'll go fast, so move quickly. Half price gift cards to Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room in the Old Port District in Portland. Thanks, Chris. I'll see you up there. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Get on board with those gift certificates. They're going to go very fast, and it's a good deal. We try to get cheap bastard deals for the people in all of our listening areas, and WGAN is obviously one of our biggest affiliates. And I was born in Portland. I live there, so we like to keep WGAN crowd, Cumberland County crowd, York County crowd happy. And this is a way to do it, and it's a hell of a deal. So get on board now. 844 500 42. So again, I was very concerned when I heard this morning that Bernie was having a news conference at 1 o'clock. I was afraid that he would drop out because he's just not a fighter. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, I don't know what he would have done if he'd been in China. You know, I mean, what do they call it? The long march, you know, 1,000 miles with Mao Zedong. How many miles would Bernie have lasted on the long march? Seriously, he just doesn't have the killer instinct. He would have gone over and started working for Chiang Kai-shek. And then he would have said, I'm gonna organize this place. I'm gonna organize this Formosa army. And I'm gonna be the business agent. See, he's just, I don't know. This is not how they won the Russian Revolution. He couldn't even be Robespierre's coat holder during the French Revolution. And he wouldn't have stabbed Julius Caesar either, I don't think. He would have just sat back and he would have been in the bath when, you know, Brutus and Mark Antony and the rest of them went after Caesar. But he did come out and he hit him hard. I mean, I don't know, you know, how this is going to translate into Sunday night because today is only Wednesday. But he said he listed off these questions that he was going to hit Joe Biden with. So Taylor put together these questions with Joe Biden's anticipated responses based on the last few days out on the campaign trail. So let's listen.
Joe, what are you going to do for the 500,000 people who go bankrupt in our country because of medically related debt?
We should set up a system, as I propose, which I will if I'm elected president, that allows the folks at the health department.
Joe, what are you going to do to end the absurdity of the United States of America being the only major country on earth where health care is not a human right?
The public option will be available in my plan. We'll make sure it's not a quality.
Joe, how are you going to respond to the scientists who tell us we have 7 or 8 years remaining before irreparable harm takes place to this planet because of the ravages of climate change?
Getting control of the Paris Climate Accord. I'm the guy that came back after meeting with Deng Xiaoping.
What are you going to do to end mass incarceration in a racist criminal justice system?
You walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Joe, what are you going to do about the fact that we have the highest rate of childhood poverty?
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Joe, what are you going to do to end the absurdity of billionaires buying elections?
Everybody looked at this and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there. Ask the right question. Anyway, my time's up. I'm sorry.
Very good, Taylor. That's what they need, Tulsi Gabbard. You know, if they had any sense whatsoever, they would say, Tulsi, we're sorry. If you need a private jet to bring you to Phoenix or wherever, Tucson, wherever it is, on Sunday night, we will supply the jet just to get you on stage. Every time there's two people in a race and there's a third candidate, and the front runner always wants that third candidate there on stage, right, to take some of the heat off. What the hell? I mean, I know Biden can't figure it out at this point, but, you know, somebody in his campaign has got to understand that they'd be better off having Tulsi in that fight.
Let's be honest. Your passion about having Tulsi on the debate stage is less about the dynamics of the debate and more about how much you like her white pantsuits.
I can multitask, can't I?
I guess.
I'm a veteran TV viewer like everybody else in the nation.
They are pretending, though, that she doesn't exist.
I know. I mean, this is the whole thing. The Democrats wouldn't vote for the women, so they're misogynists. Wait, and she's in the back of the room holding up her hand. I'm still here. Hey. they're not seeing her. They're pretending she's not in the room.
Yeah.
She's the Rodney Dangerfield of the Democratic candidates.
Well, you know, she's only a congresswoman. This is, I think, her fourth term. She's in the military reserve. Technically, she's a woman of color, you know, unlike the fake woman of color from previous Democrat debates, Elizabeth Warren. 844-500-4242.
But even those questions that were just in that cut that Bernie's going to ask Biden, he doesn't even ask the ones that could actually help him. He doesn't ask, where's Hunter? He doesn't ask anything juicy. He asks questions that Biden could probably fumble out of if he tries.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Yeah. No, that would be that. Yeah.
That'd be hard for him.
How about one of the sidewalk Olympic questions? Even though Joe doesn't drink, but I still think they would be appropriate. Mr. Biden, can you recite the alphabet backwards?
How about forwards? Let's start with forwards.
The traditional police question is backwards, but you know, or can you count to 100? Count to 1,000, starting at 550 in increments of 10. So 550, 560. There's no way he could get like to beyond 580 or 590. He'd be lost.
No.
Remember, this is the guy who said 150 million people have been killed by gun violence since 2007, and there's 720 million women in the workplace. Okay, but, you know, again, Bernie's not the guy to take it. Can you imagine if Trump was backed into a corner like Bernie is, the way he would come out? You don't have to imagine it. Think the St. Louis town hall in late October of 2016. What did Trump do? He brought all of the people, the women who'd been molested or even raped by Bill Clinton. He had a press conference with them, and then he put them on the debate stage to freak out both Hillary and Bill. And then he started walking around behind Hillary Clinton when she was answering the questions.
But the best part of him bringing all those women, and this is something Corey Lewandowski told us at one of your shows, Howie, is that he made a rule to the press. He said, you can come in and take photos, but there's going to be no questions. We're just going to sit here. We're not going to answer any of your questions. And Corey Lewandowski said all the young press kids, he said they're all like in their 20s. They have no idea who the women are when they walk in. So they're all kind of looking at each other going, who are these ladies who he brought? Like, they're looking at Juanita Braddock. Who is that? Why is he sitting with all these women? And then Corey said, all of a sudden, it dawned on one of them. Someone Googled it, and they all went like this. Oh, my God, he did it. He brought in all of these people. And that picture of Bill Clinton looking at those women next to him is the best picture ever.
It is. It is. It's the picture that tells a million words. And the other thing, too, and I asked at the inauguration, I asked Paula Jones about this. She was with Juanita Broderick, who were one of the inaugural balls. And I said, did someone give you any coaching or anything? Because they all spoke in like a minute and a half sound bites. Perfect for TV. I mean, you know, sometimes you bring in people who aren't used to speaking in public and they just kind of run on. But all four of those women were just totally on point. And they said no. They just told us to talk. And they all just hit it out of the park.
But your point, Howie, is so true. That's the thing about Donald Trump is he wasn't afraid. He knew that they weren't afraid to play dirty. So he was like, okay, let's do it. At least try. Bernie has all of this stuff he could bring up, and he hasn't. And I just don't understand it, because there's no way you honestly think you can win without bringing up dirt on your opponent.
Yeah, let's play. Before we go to the phone lines, let's play. Tucker Carlson had a good monologue on this about what was happening to Bernie last night. I think he summed it up well. Cut 11.
Yes, Sanders is. Well, you just saw the numbers. It looks like tonight could be Bernie Sanders' last stand. As of tomorrow morning, fully half the delegates in the Democratic race will have been awarded. If Sanders suffers a lopsided defeat in the next few hours, his path to the nomination will essentially disappear. If that happens, millions of Bernie supporters will wake up in the morning outraged and disappointed. They'll believe Sanders had the nomination stolen from him by a ruthless Democratic establishment fearful of change. And to some extent, they'll be right. But there's another important reason that Bernie Sanders appears to be losing tonight. He's weak.
Exactly. He's very weak. Cut 12.
Yes, Sanders is a socialist bomb thrower who praises Fidel Castro, but it's mostly talk in the end. Underneath it all, Bernie Sanders may be the lamest revolutionary ever. It's pretty obvious that Sanders doesn't want to win. He's a man who thinks it's more noble to fail than to succeed. You're watching a professional loser. Real revolutionaries go to the wall for what they believe. Bernie Sanders won't even go to the convention because that's who Bernie Sanders is, and that's who he has always been. Losing proves he's ideologically pure. He wants to. You just feel sorry for his voters. Some of them thought this was a real campaign. The joke's on them.
What he is a professional legislator. you know, Byron York was writing about this yesterday. No one who's ever been in the Senate for more than 15 years has ever been elected president. And Biden is another professional legislator. And, it, you know, I used to see this at the State House. You know, people would be in the State House for more than three terms in the House of Representatives or State Senate. And not 100% of the time, but a large percentage of the time, they were worthless. They had to get them jobs, state hack jobs on the Industrial Accidents Board, or make them into clerk magistrates because they couldn't handle a real job. You know, and that's Bernie. Bernie never had a real job anyway, and then he got elected to the Senate, and he was getting mayor, and then Congress, and then the Senate, and he got big money for just yapping. He doesn't know how to do anything. But they're still crying. They're weeping the buckets here. This is a Bernie supporter on a crying jag last night. Cut 12.
Like, he's been doing this his whole life. Maybe we can set up a dinner someday.
Maybe we can all go out to dinner someday with him.
That, who is?
So, remember that restaurant we went in at?
Bernie.
Remember the restaurant we
if
ate?
If he loses, you're going to be devastated.
Oh, my God. He just wants to help people, and nobody lets him help.
She's more devastated than Bernie is. Bernie's, I insist that the new house I get on the lake has got to be 7,000 square feet. I'm not getting out for less than 7,000 square feet. And I've got to be able to see the lake in every room, from every, including the bathroom. Including the bathroom. Ugh. This is my final opportunity. I'm Howie Carr.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hanson, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beets. Grace is holding them up right now. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Does the risk of coronavirus have you afraid of flying?
No, they're cutting the in case you haven't seen, they're cutting the price of airline tickets to the bone. They're canceling flights. Logan Airport in Boston, they're just not as nearly as many people around as normal. No. Why would I be afraid?
70% say they're not afraid.
So 30% are afraid? Okay. Are they going to celebrate like the University of Dayton students when their flight gets canceled because there aren't enough people on it?
Millennials should be taking advantage of this and booking some flights to places they've never been. Some of us are trying to book our flights for our honeymoon, so we're not worried about the slash in prices.
Ann, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, hi. I think that President Trump's biggest problem right now in messaging about the coronavirus is actually Dr. Anthony Fauci. Every time that man goes out and talks to the public, you know, he's the face of the team.
Right.
He's the voice of doom and gloom. I mean, I know he's a medical expert, and I'm sure he's very good at what he does, but the president needs to put him back, not on the shelf, but behind the scenes, do his thing, and get another expert out there to be the face. Because he needs to start putting as much of a positive spin on this. We are out of control, afraid for nothing.
I agree. And, you know, I think you're right. I don't know if Fauci is actually that bad of a spokesman, but I think the Surgeon General is a lot better. He's a lot more calm. You need people that aren't going to say something that then they have to walk back like 30 seconds later, and then that just gives ammo to people like Jim Acosta, you know, say, oh, they can't get their message straight. He's undercutting the president. I mean, they're just looking for anything they can. The Trump people need to have more message control than anybody else because they're not given any kind of leeway. You know, they can't make a mistake. I agree, though, Ann. They do have to keep everything straight. Well, that's one thing they got into trouble last week. They said that they were being didn't they say that to Pence, that he was muzzling the medical staff? And he said, look, we just have to all be on the same page, you know? I mean, this is what you do during a campaign. I mean, what do you think Joe Biden's nurse was doing yesterday when she was trying to shut him up when he was digging that hole for himself and he was telling her shush, 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 huh. And then they said, oh, it really humanized him. Everybody can identify with somebody who's approaching 80 who's lost his mind. Makes him very human. Thanks for the call, Ann.
If I was on his staff and he shushed me, I would pull him aside afterwards. I'd be like, you listen to me, you crazy old man. Don't shush me again.
Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Howie, I'll tell you, I got a prediction here. This is the end game of the Democrats' cancel culture. It's all Democrat governors, Democrat mayors, Democrat school administrators canceling everything. And what they're leading up to is canceling in-person public voting in November. They have online voting everywhere, so the whole thing could be rigged completely in the Democrats' favor, and that's coming. That's my prediction.
Okay, I think you're a little paranoid, Joe. I think that they'd like to rig it some way or another, and this whole thing, it is almost like Rush was saying the last couple of days, which is they don't mind sinking the economy to get rid of Donald Trump. They're willing to burn down the greatest economic recovery in our lifetimes to get rid of this guy because they don't like him, because they say he's a fascist, even though he's more of a small D Democrat than the previous president. He doesn't have any scandals like the IRS or the Russia hoax. And he doesn't have any of that on his record. Thanks for the call, Joe. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie. So we all know about crying Chuck Schumer's daily briefings and how he lies about how President Trump is incompetent around the coronavirus. So I decided I'd call Chuck Schumer's office this morning, and I spoke with one of his female staffers, and I asked her, I said, does Senator Schumer have a plan to address the coronavirus like President Trump does? And she went on to say, oh, yes, he has quite an extensive plan.
Oh, yes.
Extensive. And it turns out I said, is it a bullet point document? And she said, I'll send it to you. So she sent it to me, and it's a 5-point bullet point document.
Yeah, I can imagine what's in it. Everybody stay home and watch MSNBC. I'm Howie Carr.